Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about following the new command that Jesus gave us, a command not so much new in its wording, but new in its application. The command to love one another. And it really, to me, it's a command to love like Jesus loves. And that's the new part. We were instructed by God from the very beginning, really, to love one another. And Jesus came and set the example and showed us how to do that. Because we tend to get it mixed up just a little bit. Sometimes more than just a little bit. And so today we're going to talk and pray specifically about loving our neighbor as we consider this one another. Definitely a follow-up, the second part of yesterday's message. Yesterday we talked about loving God. Mark 12:31 says, "The second is this." He's talking about the greatest commands. We covered that first command, the greatest command yesterday. "The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus said that these two greatest commands, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, sum up the entirety of the law and prophets. Contained within those two commands of God are all of the instruction that we need. Now, the difficulty comes in why it was expanded by God throughout the Old Testament, why it's expanded by mankind even in today's world, is we have the same question that this man had when he comes to Jesus. We like to justify ourselves, and so we ask, well, just who is my neighbor? We want to limit who we have to love. You see, he gave the right answer. He knew that God expected him to love God and to love his neighbor. But he wanted some limits. He wanted a better definition of who his neighbor was. In other words, who do I have to love and who can I get away with not loving? And if you're familiar with that context, you probably are aware that what follows as Jesus explains who his neighbor is what we call the story of the Good Samaritan. A man on a journey, beaten and robbed and left for dead. And those that any good Jewish person would have looked at as the poster child, what it looks like to be right with God, ignored him. The priest, the one whose job was to be that go-between between man and God. The Levite, whose job was to serve both, had better things to do, both were busy, both had excuses, both simply ignored the suffering of a fellow man. And then a Samaritan comes along. The one, if the priests and Levites were the poster child for what was right with mankind and what it looked like to be right with God. The Samaritan was the poster child for the enemy. And granted, the Jewish people had enemies that were more aggressive and terrible than what the Samaritans were, but they were not accepted. There was this racial division. There was this division of heritage. There was this feeling of betrayal. There was all of this baggage that went between the two groups. And I suspect, knowing the nature of mankind, that it probably went both ways. But this Samaritan saw a person in need. He chose not to see a Jewish person. He chose not to see a Samaritan person. He chose not to see a good person or a bad person. He chose not to see a rich person or a poor person. He chose to see a person. And chose to love like he would want to be loved, to love like he loved himself. I know there's exceptions, that there are people that don't treat themselves well, that are involved in self-harm and issues mentally and emotionally that cause that. But for the most part, the principle of God's word is true, that no one hates their own body, but we nourish it, and sometimes we overnourish it, and we care for it, and we may not do it perfectly, we may not do it exactly as we ought to, but we do it based on what we think is best for us, or based on what we like. And this Samaritan man saw this person suffering and knew that he would do whatever he could to help himself if he was in that situation. And so he stopped, and he cared for him at the scene, and he took him to the nearest town, where he paid out of his own pocket to have the man cared for. If that story's familiar at all, you probably already know the question that Jesus ends the story with. Which person in that story was a neighbor of the man in need? And the response given is, well, it was the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. That's what it looks like to love our neighbor. It's not something that's focused on who our neighbor is. It's something focused on us showing mercy to anyone in need. When we begin to overcome the divisions of this world, when we see people, and yes, we notice differences, that's part of our human nature and mind, and God created us differently. But we refuse to allow those differences to define us or to define them. We love. We serve, we show mercy. We embrace. We forgive, we are forgiven. We comfort, we encourage, we correct. All of the things that we need ourselves, we choose to do for others. That's loving like Jesus. That's loving our neighbor. And we continually love. Now, I've said this before when I've talked about loving people, and especially the closer those relationships come. I'm not talking about allowing harmful activity to ourselves at the hands of someone else and thinking that somehow is right or normal. Domestic violence is a horrid thing. Violence against one another is a horrid thing. And to allow that continue because, well, I'm showing mercy, I'm showing love. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to make that clear. Because we do love ourselves. We do want protection for ourselves. And yes, there are times we find ourselves in harm's way because we are serving and helping and loving people in need. But it's not a place that we stay in. It's the battlefield. And when an army goes into battle, the plan at least is not to stay on the battlefield forever. It's to do the battle that needs done and then to return to camp, to return to headquarters, to return away from the fighting. And when we love people like Jesus loves people, you find that he would consistently pour himself out into the lives of others, and he would retreat to those lonely and deserted places to care for himself, to spend time with his Father, to pray. Today, as we live life, live with that awareness that loving people like Jesus does, says that I will love people like I ought to love myself. And for many, that's where it really has to begin. When we recognize how much Jesus loves us, then we begin to love ourselves like we ought to. It's not a prideful love. It's not a thing of arrogance. But it's recognizing the value I have because I've been created in the image of God. And there are those listening today that probably need to start there. Because loving like Jesus loves, loving like you love yourself, may not look all that good at the moment. Because you need to begin to love yourself like Jesus loves you. To know the value that you have in his eyes. To know that you are loved. So that you can love like Jesus. And you can love like you love yourself. Because when we experience the love of God and we know the value that we have in his eyes, it ought to transform this new command to love one another. It ought to transform this command to love your neighbor. And when our love is transformed to be like the love of Jesus, we find that our homes, our church gatherings, our communities begin to change. And we see God represented in us through love. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself. Your love has given us what we need to know that we have value, that we have purpose, that we belong. And Father, today I pray especially for those that are struggling with even liking themselves. Perhaps they've been beaten down by someone that they have loved that hasn't loved them back in the way they should have been loved. Perhaps society itself has cast them aside and made them feel unworthy and without value. Perhaps there are things going on mentally and emotionally that has brought confusion into their mind, and there's no one that they can think of that sees them as any having any importance. And so, Father, I pray specifically for those who need to know that your love encompasses them. And they also need to know that the people of that belong to you love them. That they are not worthless. They're not forgotten. They have great value to you. They have great value to the kingdom. They have great value as part of the body of Christ to one another. And so, Father, for all of us, as we grow in that recognition that realizes without pride or arrogance that we do have value and that we are to be loved by you and by ourselves, that we would take that lesson that we learn and apply it to how we love our neighbor. Father, as we learn to love ourselves like we ought to, may we learn to love our neighbors in that same way. That we would care for them and nourish them and equip them and help them. And if they need comfort, we would comfort. If they need correction, we would correct. But all of it would be founded in this aspect of love that flows from you. Father, give us eyes that see the needs of people as your creation rather than seeing people as different or as divided or as good or bad or black or white or whatever it is that we divide by. May we be those that show mercy. May we be those that have learned to love like Jesus loves. Father, forgive us for those times where we stumble and our flesh kind of takes over and we fail to love. We lash out at someone instead of listening. We think of self rather than you. Father, as we live life, may we realize not only what you have done for us, what you've given us, but what it looks like to share that with others. May we consider how we would want people to treat us, how we want you to treat us, not as our sins deserve, but as your love abounds. Father, today may we notice, not just with our eyes, but with our hearts, the needs that surround us. And may we be moved to compassion that we would love like Jesus loves. And Father, in doing so, may we lift him up so that many are drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.